Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Underhit Show presented by Mel Hamilton Ford. My name is Phil Nightingale and Josh Proffitt. Morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Beautiful Saturday morning out there, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Clouds are going away, sun shining. We're ready to make it happen.
That's exactly right. Hey, it's a call-in show, 316-462-3673. Number dials right into the main desk here at the dealership. The girls will get your name and number down and patch you into the show. Anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, whatever it is, something you don't understand, or just a question. Want to talk about MH Ford Racing? Want to talk about Hoosier tires? You want to talk about whatever it is in the car industry, whatever. Want to talk about some racing. Wish we were racing tonight out at 81 Speedway, but Mother Nature took a toll on us on that one, Josh. It's your fault, Josh.
Think so, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'll take it.
So anyway, hey, let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673. Number up on the screen. And Josh, as always, what's in that package for each and every caller for calling in the show? $130 package.
So we're going to send it out to you, but it's going to consist of the works, which is an oil change and tire rotation. We use Motorcraft oil and filter products here at Mel Hamilton Ford. While we're performing that, we're also going to complete a multi-point inspection on the vehicle, checking over the brakes, tires, steering, suspension, all the safety-related components on the vehicle. You'll also receive $10 to Mel's Diner, so you can get yourself something to eat and drink while you're here with us at the Big Corner. Complete nitrogen for your tires, so you get all the great benefits that nitrogen has to offer. And a BG products package, which is going to consist of a can of MOA or motor oil additive for your engine oil, and then a can of CF5 for your fuel system. Again, just getting that vehicle geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving.
All right, 316-462-3673. Let's make it happen. So anyway, Josh, Mother Nature took the toll on us. Headed out to Salina Speedway last night.
Yeah, Friday.
Friday night. That didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And she took us another toll and took us out 81 Speedway tonight, too. So 81 Speedway's out, too. So darn it.
No racing this weekend, anyways.
Not this weekend.
Be ready to go for next weekend, though.
Car's ready.
Yeah. Just
hanging in the air. Was ready to go. You had it back to trailer in last night. And we didn't get to go. But anyway, it is what it is. We just got to deal with them and go on. So anyway, wish we could be out at 81 Speedway. Wish we had been at Salina last night and wish we could be at 81 Speedway tonight, but it's not going to happen. So a lot of things coming up next week, though, back out at 81 in Salina, and KID is going to have a big deal. Norwich car shows going on. So all kinds of hot things going on next Friday and Saturday too in the racing world. So
very cool. Very cool.
So anyway, Josh, anything exciting happened in the shop this week or anything else like that, that part or anything?
You know, I thought we'd talk a little bit about the GDI service on this show a little bit. And, you know, day in and day out, you get in vehicles on the service drive, or we're checking in vehicles on the service drive. And I understand why it is, but you time and time again, I'll get in and it's just a knee jerk reaction for me. When I get in a vehicle, I look up at the window sticker. I don't care if it's mine. I don't care if it's a customer's. I don't care if I'm just moving a car in for somebody. I always look at the odometer and I'll look up at the oil change sticker on it and just see where a customer's at. And more often than not, it's always over. And it just, it blows me away. And I think it's just from being in the industry and seeing what that adverse effect is for driving a vehicle past its extended maintenance interval, and the repairs.
What do you mean, Josh?
Yeah, and the repairs that are associated with that. And so it is a knee-jerk reaction for me to do that. But I wanted to talk about the GDI service that we offer. It's from BG, and how it can help with that. Now, that doesn't excuse or mean that you can continue to drive a vehicle well past its maintenance interval or its maintenance needs by any means. But in a case scenario where that's been done, this service is certainly going to help. And then in a instance where you've maintained the vehicle even properly, this service will be a benefit too, because you are still going to build up sludge and condensation and oil deposits in these engines today, even with very good preventative maintenance. Now, it's going to take more miles to get there, but it is something that happens.
Yeah, got a few comments coming in from Jeffrey. Do you fix manufacturer recalls on GMC Yukons? And Jeffrey, you know, technically no, but we do a lot of recalls and stuff like that. So if you'd like to let us take care of that for you, we will. So Jeffrey, if you want to bring it by, schedule an appointment, we'll get it sent, scheduled for you and take care of that. So you don't have to hassle with that, whatever, from that part too. So anyway, morning, James Furman, morning, Delbert Ault, morning to everybody out there. And, yeah, dang rain, James, I get it. It's a Mother Nature thing. I think she just picks on those Fridays and Saturday nights is what I think.
You think so?
I think so. That's what I'm thinking anyway right now. So anyway, yeah, you know, Josh, it's like you talk about these intervals and stuff. We're such in a fast-paced life. And, you know, I used to be when I wrenched with my dad, you know, we filled our cars up about every 200 miles. We was adding air to tires. And there's so many different things we did. We carried a toolbox. We carried spare parts in our cars. Yeah. Now we go 5,000 miles, even popping the hood. So we're just in tune. We drive the cars until we have an issue. We don't, we're so fast. We forget about our routine maintenance and stuff like that too. And, you know, it's just like the other day, Jason came and got me. He said, Phil, you got to help me bid this truck. 561,000 miles on this Super Duty. If you'd walk up to the truck, you couldn't tell it.
Yeah.
There's no way you could tell a truck had that many miles on it from that part. But there is a fact there. And I talked to the guy. Sure enough, yeah, he maintained that truck like you're supposed to. He's an over-the-road driver. He pulls trailers all over. And he did say, yeah, I do have to I could have never went this far, but I know what I spent maintaining this truck. Here's what it's still worth today. But if I had maintained it, I know I'd probably put an engine in it or training in it or done something and had some big major repairs that he – it's all original. He had done nothing to that truck other than
as far as the powertrain wise, yes. From it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, these vehicles, they certainly will go whatever distance that you want to drive them to. And everybody, it doesn't matter whether it's Chrysler or Chevrolet or Ford or Toyota or any of the manufacturers from that side, everybody for the most part has a very durable powertrain. You know, there's definitely some that out there that have maybe better reviews or better performance stats than others, for sure. But for the most part, these vehicles are made to go 200, 300,000 miles on the powertrain themselves with proper maintenance.
Yep. Okay, Brian writes out here, Josh, what are the manufacturer
recommending
on oil changes now. Typically, my wife only drives 10,000 miles per year. Is 3 months still the recommendation? And Brian, what I'm going to tell you, those short trips, I would be doing it every 3 months probably at 10,000 miles because
she's not doing the average a year, which is 12 to 15,000 is the national average on mileage.
Yeah. So, Brian, I would say every 3 months probably on that car to change it just because you're not getting it hot enough and everything else from that part standpoint too.
So I don't know if he said in there as far as that she's driving that much, but then what?
10,000 miles a year.
And then how long, you know, is it longer trips, just
yeah,
a shorter number of them or?
Yeah, I think that's a good question too. I was taking it as a short trips is what I was taking it as from that part. Or I guess it depends on how much of that winter driving you're doing versus summer driving too, to do that part. You know, we have the hot rods that we service and we get those guys in here every 6 months, changing those oils on those cars and stuff too. So, Brian, that 10,000 miles a year, I get it. Okay. Less than 5 minutes each trip. So yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot of real short trips.
Short trips and stuff too. So basically, Brian, what's happening, you start that engine up, the condensation builds inside the motor. It never gets hot enough to boil that water out of there, then that condensation ends up in the bottom of the pan, and that's where the sludge starts real quick from that part. So, and Jeffrey writes there, I got to get my glasses back on, so I can read this writing, Josh. Can't believe you made it this small on here. The nitrogen you all put in my tires have lasted for over Oklahoma to Texas and back in Nebraska for 15 months. So there's no testimony on the nitrogen, how well that works too from that part. Shannon's stepping in here to check on us here, I guess. Yeah, he's really stepping to check on us, isn't he? For those you don't know, Shannon Burton, our GSM, he likes to stick his head in here every now and then and jack around. And, ma'am, he didn't mean that over there. So you can all just imagine what was just going on inside my office here when he's pulling the little dealer. So, yes, Jeff, on the nitrogen, great comment on that nitrogen stuff and lots of testimonies on nitrogen. So let's get the phones ringing. Everybody can get nitrogen put in your tires as part of the package from that part.
Yeah, I think let's go back and talk to or talk a little more on Brian's questions on the service intervals. And you know, that's one of the things that I see day in and day out. And that's when I started in. We started talking about the GDI and what that does for consumers. But it's just every time I walk back in the shop, I'm looking at something or repairs that we're doing or having to make, and it's like, okay, could we have avoided that with a little bit different maintenance or done something a little bit different? And it's a surprising the number of times that the answer is yes to that question.
Yep.
That if we would have done something different, we could have avoided this costly repair when it comes to maintenance. And that's why it's when you're performing maintenance, you get to do it at the intervals that you choose to do. You know, it's never convenient to be without a car or have to take a vehicle in or anything like that. And we try to make that as convenient as possible with pickup and delivery and, the online check-in and stuff like that, for sure. But when you're performing maintenance, you get to choose when that happens. You get to choose when that money is, you know, being, taken out. You get to choose what maintenance you're doing, when it's done, at a time and place that's convenient for you. When you're having to make a repair, the vehicle chooses at that point when that happens. And I can assure you, dealing with the customer base that we do, that the majority of time that is never at the right time, it's never at the right place. And then also, in addition to that, you know, the funds that you may have available to you at the time the vehicle breaks may not be, you know, it may be a struggle in that occasion too. And so that's when maintenance, just a little bit of maintenance, is worth so much in the long run.
Very true. Very true. So anyway, Ronnie Smith. Hey, Ronnie, how are you? Miss you guys. Miss you too, buddy. Hope you're doing well. And Delbert, hey, we're gaining some more likes on Facebook and YouTube. So give us a like on Facebook live here. Give us a like over on YouTube. And yes, we're trying to get to 1,000 likes on YouTube. Then we can do some more fun things with the show and everything else too. So jump over there on YouTube and give us a like on or subscribe on the Mel Hummel Ford TV app. We really appreciate that a bunch too. So anyway, you know, again, Josh, that preventative maintenance, getting into it, looking at an owner's manual, and everyone, I understand that that's there, but remember that's the minimum you need to do, not the maximum or the normal. From that part, that's the minimum the manufacturer recommends out there. We have laid out a great plan for your car, depending on your driving habits, depending on what you do, what you need to have done to your car. So let one of our advisors sit down with you and go through that and show that to you, a proper maintenance to maintain your car, to protect it. And a lot of people say, I'm going to drive it till it dies. Okay, I get it. But how long is it before it dies if you don't maintain it? How long does it take you to spend those, you know, if it does have a problem, how much more are you going to spend? I'd rather spend a little than a lot later from that part. Okay, here's another question, Josh, coming up here. I use my remote starter extensively. My car idles 15 minutes twice a day and sometimes more when it snows, etc. What impact does that have on engine deposits buildup and given the prolonged long low idle times? So great question there too. I've thought a lot about that too. It's kind of like now a lot of the manufacturers have put in idle time in their calculations.
Yep. From that very part. Much so.
So, Gus, that's a great question. And that idle time, yes, that shortens that interval, for your oil change too. It does affect it quite a bit.
Yeah. Like you said, a lot of the manufacturers are going to that, idle hours or idle time as well. You really see that being an impact when you get into the heavier duty stuff, diesel engines, from that side of things, with, you know, a lot more high idle time, then you really have to focus on that. 'Cause I've seen, you know, oil changes or oil services overdue by what would equate to several thousand miles if you look at it from an idle time standpoint.
Yeah. So do we got a caller coming in?
Yeah, we do. We're getting Daniel patched through here. So he'll be on with us here in just a second.
We're waiting on that. And Ronnie Smith made a good comment out there. Ronnie, congratulations and hope you're doing well, buddy. So you got Daniel coming in here next. What we got coming up? All right. I think I know who this is. The mechanic guy.
I think it is the mechanic.
The mechanic guy. If he comes through. if he comes through.
He'll be with us.
Get that YouTube up there. Follow us on YouTube. How about that? Didn't go through. Okay.
Yeah, it didn't go through.
Must have lost Daniel. Call us back, Daniel. I know you always got some great inspiration for us. So sorry we lost Daniel there on that part too. So anyway, follow us again on YouTube. Follow us on Facebook. Really appreciate those likes and stuff there too. But 316-462-3673. Hey, anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, anything you want to talk about in the automobile world, let us talk about it for that part. Now, let's tell you, you know what's that? Probably another thing we can talk about a little bit is, it looks like Daniel's back here.
Yeah, they're getting him patched through now. I don't know what happened there, but.
Said it went to voicemail, Josh.
Huh. Yeah, I tried it out here, but I bet he's coming through.
Okay, we'll get Daniel.
There we go. Yeah, Daniel. He's on with us now.
Daniel, you're live. Hello? With him. Hey there, Mechanic. What are you doing?
Yowzee! Hey, I got a big problem.
Yeah?
1988 Chevrolet, my 2500 out here.
Yep.
I basically have rebuilt the electronics, and it will not, it's like a governor. It won't go over 45 miles an hour on the highway. What say you?
So you push the pedal down and she just won't rev up, or she's revving up and not going, or?
Well, I'm on the highway. I got the accelerator to the floorboard, and my speedometer only says 45, 47 mile an hour. Hmm. So would it be the throttle position switch, idle air control? What kind of electronic gadget do I need to add now?
Well, is the RPM going up, or is the RPM not going up on the motor? Or is it just like
I didn't notice. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
But I think the RPM was pretty much staying the same, if I remember right.
You just all of a sudden do it too? Or you just not had it on the highway for a while?
Well, it ain't been on the highway for a couple of months now, maybe longer. And I took it over to Nickerson and back, and I'm trying to get up to 60 miles an hour, and it's only doing about 45, 47 on the GPS digital readout. I changed the steering column. I've changed the instrument cluster. By the way, my gas gauge works now.
That's good.
Yeah. Anyway, could it be a flat cam? Could it be very low fuel pressure? I mean, I'm at wit's end.
So I'm wondering along the lines of low fuel pressure, because if the engine doesn't have enough power to generate to allow the transmission to shift into the next gear, you know, that's one of the things that I would wonder about is low fuel pressure. The other one is something inside the transmission as well, not allowing it to shift into that next gear.
Well, I don't have any way to test the pressure on the transmission.
So the first thing I'd want to know is, is the motor able to do what it needs to do to allow the transmission to do what it wants to do or can do? And so when you say that it's only going 45, that's foot on the floor. How's the engine running at that point? Does it feel like it's lacks power, or to get to 45, does it feel like it lacks power at all?
I'm thinking on what it was doing. It was shifting at 15. It shifted at 25, 28. And yeah, it could be not shifting in the highway gear, because the engine seemed like it was idling, you know. I mean, I just had it clear to the floorboard and acting like it was. Yeah, I see what you mean. Go ahead.
I got a question, Daniel, coming through the Facebook deal, our chat line here. If it's an 88, is it carbureted or TBI?
TBI.
TBI, that's what I thought. I know. I'm also thinking maybe it isn't getting into high gear, but I'm also thinking, like you said, lack of fuel pressure or
restricted fuel pump filter would be another thing that could be causing it.
Exhaust too.
Yeah, the converter.
There is no catalytic converter. When I bought this truck, the smog junk was totally removed from the engine all the way back. All I got is a thrust muffler on the exhaust.
Yeah. And so if there was exhaust back pressure from even the muffler being broke up, that could cause it too. Well, the other thing that I would want to know is when you accelerate or take off from a stop, regardless to the 45, but how does it seem like it has enough performance and power taken off from a stop, or does that seem degraded or sluggish?
No, you're right. From a dead stop, like my driveway, no, it, again, it acts like a flat cam, but I see what you're saying. When I accelerate from a dead stop, it's sluggish. That's the only word I can think of.
Yeah. So I'm going to say there's something going on with the engine itself, whether that's fuel related, you know, if it was a flat cam, you should really, you would notice that I think at idle, for the most part.
Okay.
And so I'm going to say something along with fuel pressure or fuel restriction. You're not getting enough volume of the fuel, and that could be from a fuel filter. The other thing, you know, I know that it doesn't have a converter on it, but the muffler itself could be plugged up and you got something going with back pressure. And basically that engine's not able to breathe for whatever reason. And I think that's what's causing the issue.
I can strip off the muffler. That ain't no problem. But it's only a couple of years old. It's one of those cheap, I hate to even use their name, but it's a cheap AutoZone muffler.
You know, it's just because it's a couple years old. I mean, we've pulled parts and put them on vehicles right out of the box and had issues with them from that side of things too. But typically what you see when you have a exhaust back pressure issue, that's typically caused by something else. In other words, a lot of times you'll see a vehicle that has a misfire or something along those lines, and it sends unburned fuel down into the exhaust, and then it reignites in the exhaust from the temperature, and then it gets extremely hot, and then you start melting, you know, exhaust components or internal exhaust components. So almost always, if somebody has a issue with back pressure, there is a cause and effect there, but almost always that's started out somewhere else, and so there's another problem with the vehicle as well.
All right. I was on YouTube. I watched the video guy rebuild a TBI, you know, from tear down and, you know, everything. And that makes sense because the only problem is I'm trying to test fuel pressure, and the fuel pressure kit I bought off of eBay don't have an adapter to fit either the fuel line under the on the rail, frame rail, or the fuel line coming into the TBI.
Yeah, so on those, typically what you would do is remove the fuel filter, and there would be an adapter that replaces the fuel filter, and you would hook up your gauge there, and that way you can still continue to run the vehicle. You're not just testing deadhead pressure of the pump. So pressure is one thing that you're looking for, but the other thing is volume. And you may have perfectly good pressure, but then you don't have the volume. So when you're accelerating and you need more fuel, you're not able to meet those demands, and that's what's causing it to run like that.
Before I shell out more money, how would I test the throttle positioning switch and the idle air control and all that stuff that's on the TBI?
Well, as far as the idle air control motor, all that controls your idle. Once it gets off of idle, that doesn't do anything with it. As far as the throttle position sensor, you got to have a scanner and plug into it and read it and see what it's reading from, you know, at base idle to wide open throttle to see if it goes from starts at 0.5 volts and rolls all the way to 5 volts at wide open. Just see if it's working that problem. Part of it. I'm still thinking the first thing I'd be doing is figuring out my fuel pressure is okay.
Yeah. And then on the throttle position sensor, if you knew which one was the signal wire and which one was the supply wire, you could plug into it with a DVOM from that side. And
well, I've got the schematics from the library, and it does show the voltages, you know, what you're talking about, Jason.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that I can do with the digital voltmeter, and by activating the accelerator cable, I can either increase or decrease voltage, right?
Yes.
Okay. I got that covered. Anyway, I get all this replaced, and now I got code 44 error again, and I check the oxygen sensor. The voltage is within normal perimeter. I checked my exhaust manifold torque bolts and my torque. So I don't know why it keeps coming up with a lean exhaust
Yeah, I'm still betting you're lacking
44.
That 44 is lean. I get it. And it's got to be, I'm telling you, you're lacking fuel pressure. That's what I think.
Or volume.
Yeah.
Or volume. Yeah.
Question, the fuel pump assembly in the gas tank, could that be the root of all of my problems as far as not pressure, but delivery of volume?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. I really don't want to drop that tank, and I'm going to have to pull the bed. All right, gentlemen, thank you for your time.
No problem at all.
I'm going to get this thing repaired. Go ahead.
Maybe you could just slowly get it over here and we can do all those checks for you.
It take me 2 days to get over there, man. I'll
die, bro. All right. Well, just offering.
I'll see what I can do. I'm serious because this is my work truck and I need it running tip top. And at the opening of your show, preventive maintenance is key. And my dad always told me, you take care of a vehicle, it's going to take care of you.
You're exactly correct.
You abuse it, it's going to abuse you.
Your dad was exactly correct.
Well, he was born 1914, and he was old school mechanic. And you better quit yawning there, Phil, because that's making me yawn. Gentlemen, thank you. And on a serious note, I will try my damnedest to, but I will call you ahead of time and let you know when I leave Hutch.
Leave early.
That way you can have the drones out looking for me.
There you go. Well, thanks for the call, Daniel. Have a good day.
Yeah, he's something else, isn't he? Delbert Alt. Yeah, Jason. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So anyway, let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673. Anything ailing your car? We can get all kinds of things going on here. And 2 days to get to MH Ford or a few weeks to try to figure it out yourself.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Very true. Very true. So anyway, back to the phones, 316-462-3673. Let's see who can top Daniel's question for us and get some stuff going here on the live deal too. So anyway, Josh, MH Ford Racing, the warehouse is up and rolling, doing very well. We added a new program in this week to help streamline some things. And I think we got a little busy behind getting that all set up and stuff, but that warehouse is growing very well. If you haven't seen the warehouse, you need to come by and check it out. It's pretty cool. Everything we got going on there. A lot of exciting things still yet to come in the warehouse also. So
definitely going to be a huge advantage to our customers, whether you're just looking for racing on the racing side of parts or components, or the Ford parts or components from that side. You know, it's going to be a huge benefits to both our parts and service customers from that side. Especially right now with the way the supply and demands are, you know, we're definitely at a great benefit on a broken down vehicle. If we've got the part in stock, you know, a lot of dealers and vendors are struggling to find supplies and components to be able to get vehicles repaired. And it's definitely a relief when You know, we look at something and it's something that we have right on our shelf that we can put on a customer's car and not have to tell them that, hey, it's going to be 2 weeks or 3 weeks before we can get your component. Or in some cases, there's, you know, scenarios out there where we really don't know when we're going to be able to get it from that side. So having the inventory that we have and being able to grow that at this stage in the game is huge for us for sure.
Yep. Okay. Try to see where Daniel come see you guys. If it'd be worth for Daniel come see you guys, even if you had to pay for the diagnostic, in my opinion.
Of course, he had to pay for the diagnosis, is what he's saying. Yeah, we'll look at Daniel's vehicle for him.
Yeah, he just got to get in the truck and get on over here. I'm kind of worried that 088 make it that far.
Oh, it'll make it. He's got it.
He's got it. He's got it figured out.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm guessing he's fighting a fuel pressure issue is what I'm guessing. So
exactly true.
You know, and he made a comment there. I realize he's working on an 88, but having the right tools and equipment to do a job. And there is nothing like trying to figure something out and, you know, needing to do something and then essentially just kind of throwing darts at it. You know, if you could look at all the components that he listed off that he thought he needed to check or look at or replace. And by the time you went through and did all that, again, with the right tools and equipment and scan information, there's just a lot of unnecessary steps that could have been taken to solve an issue that somebody could go right to with the right tools and equipment and being able to eliminate, this is not a problem. This is not a problem. Okay, we've got an issue here. So what could cause that? And you're looking at a diagnostic trouble tree and say, okay, well, it's got to be this, this, or this. And then you're going to those items. But then also when you're checking them, you know what values that you're even looking for is the other side of it. Because, you know, getting a reading on something is only half the equation. You got to understand what it is that you've got and whether that's good or bad, and you can move on from that component or look further deeper into why it is that you're getting what you're getting.
Exactly. So anyway, 316-462-3673. Let's get the phones ringing. Love to give away these package valued over $130 for each and every caller. Only show I know you get paid to call in on. So let's go. So anyway, Josh, let's switch gears. Let's go to Broncos. A lot of questions still running about okay. Broncos. And we have our first two CTP units being built in the end of May in the first week of June. And then we got another build week, the second week of June on our first edition Bronco.
Okay.
Is going to be built. So we got some build dates, got some stuff happening there. So excited to see these new Broncos roll in the showrooms.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but on that first edition portion of it, options wise, there's really not a whole lot to choose from.
Color,
correct? Yeah, that's all you get is you get to pick what color you want.
It was basically it's a loaded up truck. Everything you possibly can put on one. We're only getting four of first editions. We got a total of 41 total Broncos, four first editions, and you can really say 43 because there's two of the CTP units that we're going to bring in. And drive. I still don't know how many miles we got to put on those before we can sell them. I hope it's just a couple thousand.
Yeah.
That's all we got to put on them before we can sell them and move them down the road. So
now, not pinning you to anything, but what everybody wants to know is, okay, they're going to build it the end of May, the first part of June. Mm-hmm. When realistically would that be in the dealership?
I'm going to say the first Bronco we're going to see is in about the middle of June. And Delbert wants to know what CTP, here we go with our acronyms that we don't talk about. It's called Courtesy Transportation Program.
So Delbert came in and helped us with that Mach 1, and he took it for a drive. But Delbert, that's what a CTP vehicle was. So,
yeah, basically we have, I put about 50 cars in that courtesy transportation program. So when you come in for service, we use those for loaners. And they made us put these Bronco Sports, which we had one of those. And now we've had a Mach-E, which it's sold to in that courtesy transportation program. And now we're going to have two of the full-size Broncos that will go in there from that part.
Do you know on the Broncos what trim level they were in the courtesy?
Can't remember.
Yeah. So.
I can't remember what they are. And then Greg Murray asked, first edition is all spoken for. Yeah, Greg, those went very, very fast from that part. Only, like I said, we only got four of those of the 41 that we're actually getting. Right now, if you're, we've sold out everything we're going to get for 21. We've got six people that are going to have to go to 22s, and I already have 21 people sitting in line for the 22s, sitting there just going to wait on the 22 to come. So kind of answered your question there, Greg. Yeah, but they're all spoken for. Yeah, and you know, Delbert says that Mach-E is awesome. It is a cool car. I've been driving a little bit too. Got another caller coming, Josh.
Yeah, I'll get him patched through, but you can go ahead.
Yeah, I drove the Mach-E for a little bit, and it is a fun car to drive. I do miss the sound because there's no sound there when you're driving, so you try to turn the radio up a little bit. But the power, the torque, everything is very impressive with that Mach-E.
Ryan, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Josh. Thanks for having me today. Really, it's a question. I mean, it's appreciation and also a question. You know, we were in there this last week and Redneck put in some time. And I felt like he really found, drilled down and found us something for our son. And to have him presented on the showroom floor with everybody clapping, it was just an excellent first car experience. I mean, you know, we bought, I don't know, three or four cars from you guys, but for a first time, you know, car owner, like a teenager, it was just a wow experience. And I want to say thank you on that, but I wanted to ask, cause we got, a Chevy Cruze, off your, pre-owned inventory lot. And, there's not a spare tire. And they said, you know, they were educating us saying a lot of them, or some of them are going to that where it has a pump and not a spare tire. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on evolution and is it worth, you know, would you recommend, you know, so throwing a tire in there, you know, just buying one. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on that. Great job, guys. It was really an awesome experience. Thank you so much.
No, hey, thanks for letting us take care of your son and everything else too. And my opinion on the spare, you know, we used to, years ago, sometimes cars carry two tires with them. The spare, just tires would blow out and do all kinds of things. But I think with the quality of the tires that are today and that kind of thing, you don't see too many people with flat tires running around anymore. And I'll tell you the other thing, I think the reason the manufacturers got it is cost of putting it in, yeah, there, but also too, the weight, not having to carry that weight around all the time with you on fuel economy. I know it's not probably a lot, but from that part, but I, you know, I argued with my son when he bought his Mustang, it didn't have one. He had to have one. He went and bought one and put it in there. And I said, why? He's never used it yet.
Yeah.
But I just think the quality of the tires and that sort of thing, you just don't have that issue anymore. And now with tire pressure monitoring systems, you know, when your tire's going low, you know, to get somewhere and stuff like that too. But, if it gives you peace of mind, just get one, put one in there. But, I just don't think you'll ever use it.
I would rather see somebody take the initiative and probably check tire pressures more often than, you know, the spare tire side of things. I don't know how many times that I've personally been involved with helping somebody change a tire or whatever. And then you go to get the spare, and by the time you got it and on the ground and everything like that, there was no air in it, because, you know, it was back there and everybody forgot about it until they needed it. And then, you know, by then it had been sitting for 5, 6, 7, 8 years and it was flat, you know, on that side of things too. So, I see both ways. You know, if you're that type of person that would, like the reassurance of having it there, I completely understand that and can be behind that. But then also I kind of see the manufacturer standpoint. If, you know, 90 or 95% of them never even are seen, used, touched, or removed, you know, why go through the expense and weight of having them on there? So,
yep.
Good point. I never thought of that. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Thanks for the call and appreciate you letting us take care of you and your family, buddy.
Ryan, if that is something that you want to look into as far as getting a spare back there, let us know. I'll be more than happy to help with you that on that and get some options. You know, to me, if you are going to go through the expense of doing that, a spare tire is something that I wouldn't be opposed to looking at, like a salvage option or something like that for it to just keep the expense down. Cause again, it may be something that you would never even use. So we'd be more than happy to help you out with that if that is something that you want to look into. So.
Okay. Good looking out. Thanks for your help, Josh.
Hey, thanks for the call.
All right. Daniel wants to know how to check the volume on his fuel pump. first thing is get the pressure. If the pressure's okay, yeah, most likely your volume's going to be okay, Daniel.
Yeah. So probably the easiest way to check volume on the fuel pump is again with a fuel pressure gauge, and then monitoring the fuel pressure while the pump is in a high demand state. So basically you have the gauge hooked up while you're driving the vehicle under a extremely hard acceleration. And if you're not getting enough volume, the pressure will start out okay or within specifications, but then the pressure will drop as you're accelerating. That's probably about the easiest way to check volume. You can actually, you know, monitor the volume as far as how much that it's pouring out. But again, it's under the high demand situations is where you're really going to need it. So just as far as key on, how much it's producing, you know, is not going to be the best way. So just monitoring that fuel pressure, when in high demand uses, is going to be the best way to check the volume of it.
Okay. Delbert has another question. What's the latest on a new version of the Edge and the Escape, possibly having a third row? Well, we just redid the Edge Escape in 2020, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do believe the Edge is probably getting ready to come up for an update from that part. But as far as the third row, you're going to have to go to an Explorer. Delbert, if you really think about that, if you put a third row seat in an Escape, it's going to be a very small seat back there from that part. Not much room or anything else, too. Kind of the same way with the Edge. It should be pretty small of a third row seat. So that's why they went to the jumped it all the way to the Explorer, so you can actually get somebody in that third row seat of a decent size and sort of thing for that part. But I'm not sure when the Edge is up for an update either. I can't remember. I think it was 18 when we updated the Edge.
Yeah, so they kind of did a little bit of redesign on it a little bit later, like 20, I think. But just some subtler changes from that side of things.
So I've got another caller coming up.
I'll
so
get let's them get headed in.
Get Jordan heading in here on the show and see what Jordan's got up his sleeve. So
yeah, that the Escape, when they did that in 2020, it was a pretty major change, and I don't know, it's been a very popular vehicle for us for sure.
Yep, that it has. So
we've got Jordan online. Jordan, you're online with or on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the spare tire story and controversy and everything you guys were talking about. I don't know if I call it a controversy, but, you know, one thing I might add just as a listener, and, you know, you guys do a lot of business with me, so I might be a little biased, but I feel like your guys' customer service is so head and shoulders above anyone else. I feel like if you buy from Mel Hambleton, you probably don't need a spare tire, because if they call, you're going to have 9 courtesy vans headed their direction to change their tires, clean their windshield, top them off with fuel, and send them on their way. So I think it depends on who you buy from, whether you really need a spare or not. And that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I appreciate what you say there, Jordan. And, you know, those situations you talk about is I put myself in your shoes, and what would I want to have happen? How would I want somebody to take care of me? And that's kind of how we do things. If you've got a flat somewhere, you're right, we got the vans dispatched and we're headed your way. And if we can't get it changed or whatever, we've got a loaner sitting there for you or something from that part too. But, you're very true. It's part of what we've tried to instill in all of our employees and everything is, if you were in that situation, what kind of help would you expect and want? And that's what we try to do.
Well, that's the impression I get. You guys definitely exude that image for sure. It's impressive. So just like I said, just my 2 cents. So.
Well, I appreciate your 2 cents very much, buddy. Very much.
No problem. You guys have a good Sunday. Josh, take it easy.
Will do. You too.
See you, buddy. All right, 316-462-3673. Only show I know you get paid to call in. $130 package by there for you. So let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673. And, Delbert, that's why I will go to Wichita from Oklahoma City to get my services and vehicle purchases from them. So, yep, Delbert, appreciate that very much, too. So, 316-462-3673. So, anyway, we talked about the Bronco.
Very excited to see that. I'm super excited to see that. So
it's going to be very cool. Probably the next new exciting thing is going to be is the new Super Duty. We're going to start building them in June, and they're going to have a lot of the updates that 21 F-150 had. So be excited to see some of those rolling in here. coming here. I'm going to say we'll probably see them in July. Probably.
You know, I don't know how they can, I'm sure there is, but how they can increase the torque and horsepower in those things yet. But it's just every year, it just seems like it more and more and you get in those things and it's just amazing. They, it doesn't matter whether it's just the truck going down the road or a truck or truck and trailer with 14,000 pounds on it.
Yeah,
performs the same, acts the same. It's absolutely impressive what those things do.
Yeah, it's very true. So anyway, see what else new products. Talk about the Bronco. Got quite a few Bronco Sports in now. Those are selling very well. If you haven't seen one of the Bronco Sports, you need to come check them out too. So what about should have brought Nick in here on MH Ford Racing to give kind of an update there. We went out into Colorado this week and visited a few of our Hoosier dealers. To check in on those guys, see how they're doing and stuff too. So excited for some things are going to be happening in Colorado this year, especially now we've got a full year of racing versus a half a year of racing that we had in last year and stuff too. So that's going to be fun. Excited for that part also. So anyway, now Daniel's back here again. What Daniel got again over by the elevator. What is the computer? A simulator. Over by the elevator.
Oh, yeah, here on the showroom. Over by the elevator, the simulator that we have over there.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he's talking
about. That's what he's talking about, yeah. Yeah, we have a race simulator here in the showroom that you can come get on, and it's a live action on iRacing. And it's the only thing it doesn't have to feel is really your feel in your butt of a race car. But other than that, the steering, the clutch, the throttle, the experience that you have with that thing is very cool. It's free. Just come get on it, jump on it, go have some fun. You can pick all kinds of different race cars, different tracks.
Have you been on there yet?
Just very little bit. I get frustrated, as you know what.
I got on there one time. And I, to say, I pulled out of the pits into the wall pretty much. And then I called it good after that. So
yeah, I can't. Yeah.
And then at the time, it was on the TV out here, so everybody could see me pull out of the pits into the wall, and you know it. You don't. Nobody ever razzes anybody around this place anyway. So nah. Everybody was always full of encouragement and you know cheering you on.
Yeah, there was a lot of cheering. Right?
And I decided I was done with it. Yeah.
So anyway, you need to come get on the simulator. We'll pick a nice, easy track for somebody. I just need to stop and get on it. I know I can get it going, but I'm the same with you, Josh. I got on, I think that's so frustrating. I kept hitting the reset button to fix the car, and finally I just said, hey, enough.
Might come up here on a Sunday or something. do a little practice.
Yeah, I hear you. So anyway, come check out the simulator on the showroom floor. It's there live 24/7. Whenever you want to jump on it, pick your track, pick your car. We bought it. And of course, on iRacing, you got to buy the tracks and buy the cars. So we bought a lot of stuff too. And Daniel, the food was awesome when I was there. Josh, love the BG I got from you.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when was Daniel here?
Gosh, it's been probably 2 weeks ago, maybe at this point. I don't know. Time flies around here for sure, but I'm going to say about 2 weeks ago. And like I said, he took that Mach-E out drove it around, put a couple of miles on it to help us out there as well. So
yeah, the Mach-E is sold.
Uh-huh.
We're still trying to get 4,000 miles on it. Had 3,300 on it last night and I got out of it. Anyway, the owner that's buying it, he comes and gets it over the weekends and takes it on the weekends and miles it up. So hopefully he said he's going to be back with 4,000 miles on it.
Yeah. So this, the red one, is it still out here? Yeah, that's what I thought. Did it come in sold or?
Well, okay. How that one worked was Lisa ordered that in.
Oh yeah, that's right. Herself, yeah.
And thought she was going to surprise and put Tyler in that car.
Uh-huh.
But then the Bronco came in and he said, no. Bronco. So he took the Bronco. So then Lisa, we called and made sure it was okay to sell it since it was special ordering for Lisa, and Ford said, yeah, sell it. And it didn't even sit her 24 hours.
No. Yeah.
So yeah, another happy customer ran around another Mach-E, and hate to tell you the next four that are coming are sold too.
Really?
Yeah. So no stock available on the Mach-E unless you want to put an order in. And right now it's looking like about 12 weeks to to get one?
I was down at BG. We had one of the gentlemen from CDK come in this week, and we went down and walked around BG the other day. And, you know, they had a couple of hybrids in there just looking things over and where the future's going and how that it's going to affect their business and stuff like that. And that's what I love so much about what they do is they're just always trying to better their product, better their service that they provide, and what they want to put out is, you know, they want to make sure that you're getting what you pay for. And just walking through the research and development lab, and then again, like I said, going into this hybrid side of things, they're looking at maintenance on those and how they can help improve the life of them and stuff like that. And so they're just always always looking at, again, making things better and the next best thing and continuing to grow services that they can provide to customers for sure.
Yep. Love BG. Like I said, I've been using those BG products for, what did I say? I figured out 87.
They had a picture up there. I didn't know when they very first started out, they had pink vehicles. All their delivery vehicles were pink initially when they started out. You know, it still had the BG emblems on it and stuff. And I asked about it specifically, and he said, "Yeah, that didn't last very long." But
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, yeah, had them all sitting out there and
pink.
Yeah.
Wonder why? What kind of cars were they, Emmer?
Well, so a lot of them were actually Dodge products, but they had anything from the wagons to the vans to. But they had the whole fleet of them out there. All of them were pink and had the black BG logo on them for sure. But one of the things that I thought was really cool is they were doing a study on one of the diesel injectors, and man, they had this thing up on the microscope. And this microscope, I mean, it wasn't the chemistry microscope you used in high school. You could literally see that they were literally measuring the size of the hole in the injector that the fuel was spraying out of. I mean, it was that big on the screen, and really? I don't remember what the magnitude was on it, but it was they paid the mint for that microscope. I can assure you for that, but just what it could do was absolutely impressive. But they were just ensuring that, you know, they'll pull a set of injectors out of a vehicle, go through, examine all the injectors, label exactly what, you know, what hole is, they flow test it and get the orifice size of the spray tip, and then go back through, put it back in the vehicle, run their chemicals through it, bring it back out and reflow test everything, remeasure, and they're actually able to calculate, you know, the volume and the spray and how much that their service affected that. And he said, you know, going through one vehicle and one service is typically about a 2 to 3 week exam phase. Yeah. And just to go through that much, you know, that much ensure you to make sure that the product that you're putting out is top notch is crazy. You know, he says a lot of other companies will maybe put it on a dyno from that side and see if there's, you know, a horsepower difference or flow difference. But I mean, he went down through it, all the different tests they do to ensure that their product's good. And that was just one of the tests that they were doing, not to mention, you know, fuel flow, actually monitoring that on the vehicle and making sure that it's in a controlled environment. And it's just crazy the extent that they went to put something out there.
Yeah, because they'll come and get cars from us, and I got involved with one, was the diesel, and it came back with all the different, you know, start off with fuel mileage, and they put it on the dyno, did all that stuff, and then it came back with all the fluids they changed and showed all the difference increase and all that kind of stuff, and it is an extensive test, and you're right, they have them for a couple weeks at a time, and you know, they don't just come get Fords from us either. They get stuff off our used car lot
down there. And, there was three of them. One was a Toyota. One was a, I don't remember, but yeah, none of them were Ford, and they all had our emblems on the back of them. So
yeah, I love providing those cars for them to do their testing, that kind of stuff. But, it is very cool. It's right here in Wichita. Love what BG has to offer. Love what they do for us. And you as a consumer out there, you should be excited to know that their products, when they do put them in there, they're good for the car. They're going to extend the life of your car. Helpful to prevent some breakdowns and everything else in that part, but it's very well money spent. It's spent a little now or spent a lot later, and I'd much rather spend a little now than a lot later, that's for sure. So anyway, Josh, we're just about out of time. I don't know, I'd take one more call if we could. 316-462-3673. Got some great comments coming over here. Yeah, Dan, I know that orange race car is pretty cool, but it's gone now. Danny, when's that orange race car is on the showroom? Remember the sprint car, the old sprint car?
Oh, yeah.
Sitting on the showroom, yeah. Yeah, Daniel, I believe my son Jake's going to drive that one of these times out at 81 Speedway.
That'd be very cool.
He's going to, the owner of the car asked Jake if he would take it for a spin just to kind of, they have it out there every now and then where they bring out the antiques or whatever and let them kind of tool around a little bit, not actually race or whatever, but just kind of tool around a little bit on the track. So he asked Jake if he'd take that thing for a spin. And
you know, I'm looking at that thing and I just still don't even know. Well, what do we, I think we determined that it was a, like the e-brake almost sitting that way out on the side of it.
Yeah, that was the brake up there. Then that little plunger deal down on the deal, that's the fuel pump. You had a manual hand pump that thing for fuel pressure.
Really?
Yes, they said you can show them going down the speedway, you know, straightaways, and the guys are down there running their hands to pump that thing up fuel pressure, get the corner going, then back pump it back the straightaway. But it was the e-brake, that big long lever there. Uh-huh. And then the other deal is there is the hand pump to pump the fuel pressure.
Wow.
Yeah, I had no idea that was fuel pressure. They said, oh, you can go back in the years and watch the videos and watch the guys going down straight and pumping that like a syringe kind of
thing. Yep.
It's fuel pressure to hit the corner, go back straight and start pumping that thing again, going down a straightaway. Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Definitely an art to it, for sure, then.
Yeah, oh, an art.
Well, it'd just be, I don't know, it'd be very fun to drive just as a part of history, you know, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, we're running out of time, Josh. So let's thanks everybody for watching. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for all the great comments and great callers and stuff. We need to thank our sponsors. We just talked about BG products, all the great preventative maintenance products they do for us. Big Corner Creative. Hey, all your advertising needs. If you need a race car wrap, you need a window wrap, you need anything to advertise your business, you need a web page, you need your windows tinted, whatever it is to radio advertising, social media advertising, Facebook advertising, anything to help build your business. There's a guy say at Big Corner Creative, just Google us. And also, Go to Rent. I haven't talked about Go to Rent in a while either.
No, I hadn't.
So, hey, if you're looking for a rental car, 12 or 15 passenger van, Explorer, Expedition, Stan's got a great fleet of vehicles there in for you. So give Stan a call right inside here at Mel Hamilton Ford. Everybody, have a great Saturday. Have a great weekend. Let's get Mother Nature out of here so we can go race next weekend. And, of course, a lot of racing next weekend. Friday at Salina. Friday and Saturday, Kansas International Dragway, and Saturday, 81 Speedway. So get out to your local tracks and support them and have some fun. Everybody, talk to you next Saturday.